Bring your warm Christian greetings this evening in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been a beautiful day. We had a good message this morning on thankfulness. We had a couple good messages before on being thankful, so I'm not going to bring a Thanksgiving message this evening. But the scripture which our brother read here to us this evening is what seemed to be laid on my heart, and we want to make some comparisons here this evening. Here in this scripture, which our brother read, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, also to us today, urging them and us to learn from the mistakes which they made in the past. And I think we can learn every day, and we can learn from this scripture here this evening. And I was impressed with the last verse, not only the last verse, or next to the last verse he read, but the last verse as well. I'm going to read the 13, 14, and 15 again. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, and I've often said, when you see the word wherefore, look what it's there for. And he says, wherefore, because of this fact, the promise that God has made to us, he said, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Idolatry is something to worshiping someone or something other than Christ Jesus. And we want to flee from that. We don't want to worship anything but him. And then in the last verse there that he read, verse 15, he said, I speak as to wise men, judge what I say. I believe tonight is speaking, I'm speaking to wise men, I'm speaking to wise people who can judge what the Word of God tells us. And Brother Ray's comment there in the opening about it from Proverbs, that wise men lay up, did you say honor or wisdom? Either one. And wise men do. We lay up wisdom, and where do we get wisdom? We get wisdom from the Word of God. Tonight we're going to try to make some comparisons along with Paul in writing to the church at Corinth, and also writing to us here this evening and to all those that read the scriptures. If I were to give you a title for the message this evening, it would be A Matter of Life or Death. We either have life ahead of us or we have eternal death. Now, when I say eternal death, you know, I wonder about that. I guess, I'm not sure if we can find it exactly that way in the Word, but when we think about eternal death, we are all, you're going to understand it. My mind doesn't serve me like it used to. The word that I want still just doesn't come up. But what I'm saying is that every one of us are living. We're living souls is what I want to say. And the soul of man never dies. Some souls, the souls of the righteous, go to heaven. The souls of those who have never accepted Christ are going to go to hell. That's what the Bible says. But it'll be eternal. I don't know, as I say, if we can find that word here. I didn't think to look for it. But it'll be eternal damnation. We can put it that way. And that it certainly will be. Now, Moses here, or Paul here in writing to the church at Corinth, he goes back into Deuteronomy, where Moses was leading the people. And we want to go back to that ourselves this evening and make some comparisons there. I'm going to go back to Deuteronomy, the 29th and the 30th chapter, and look at the comparisons that we have there with you and I today. We're going to start with chapter 29. In chapter 29, Moses is speaking to all Israel, giving them the word of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab. He reminds them of the experience in the land of Egypt and also the 40 years in the wilderness. He exhorts them in verse 9 to keep the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. When he says, keep the words of this covenant and do them, you know, we can know what the word is, but unless we do it, unless we put it to practice, it doesn't really benefit us or anyone else, does it? We can go to the book of James, and James, the first chapter in verse 22 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. He said, if we're only hearers and not doers, don't put it to practice in our lives, we're deceiving ourselves. And it doesn't matter how much we know, if we don't put it to work in our lives, put it to practice, it really doesn't profit us anything or anybody else. Verse 9 of chapter 29 of Deuteronomy, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that ye may prosper in all that you do. My Bible has this lined as obedience will bring blessing. And then further on, it's warning against disobedience. Obedience will bring blessing. It always has and it always will. And we need to remember that as we go on through life. Not only hear the word, but put it to practice in our lives. In verses 16 and 17 of this 29th chapter, he says, for you know how we have dwelt on the land of Egypt and how we came through the nations which ye passed by, and ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. He says here that they have seen the disobedience, they've seen the idols, and he's speaking to wise men. As I said, I believe we're speaking to wise people tonight, but you know, sometimes when I read the news in the newspaper, I wonder if there's many wise men in the world today. They commit all kinds of murder and whatnot, and next day someone does the same thing. If we're going to be wise, we're going to learn from others' mistakes, the wise people do, and that's what he's saying here. He said that they've seen their abomination and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which are among them. And we need to have our eyes open. We need to be looking about and understanding what's going on. You know, when we think of world conditions today, I don't believe it's going to be long until Christ returns. None of us knows the day nor the hour. But when we see what's going on in the world today, we'd have to be pretty ignorant of God's word if we didn't realize that we're in the last days. Because it said, when we see all these things come to pass, we're not to be troubled, but we're to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. And can we look forward to anything greater than our redemption? But whenever I think of that, I think of the multitudes of people that aren't ready. Some are going to be taken and some are going to be left, and there's going to be more left than what's going to be taken. The Word of God says so. And we need to be on guard. We need to not only tell the story, but we need to live it out in our lives. Each day we go about, day after day, we need to be obedient to God's Word and let others see that there is a reality in living according to the Word of God. Then here in verses 18 to 20, tells them that God will deal the same with them if they forsake him. God is no respecter of persons. Verse 18, he says, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. He's saying that if we turn away from God, we're going to reap that, or they're going to reap gall and wormwood, and we're going to reap the same thing today if we're going to turn away from God rather than following his book. And what we need to do, we need to be acquainted with the Word of God, and we need to walk in the way that the Word says. The 19th verse, he says, And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness and thirst. excuse me, that adding drunkenness and thirst, I would say just is saying putting more, how will I say, more problems on top of the others, drunkenness and then to thirst. And it goes on, it gets worse instead of better. And it seems to me today, I talk about what's going on in the world, but I'm alarmed today at what's going on in the church at large. People today seem to feel that they can walk in the imagination of their heart. They can say to themselves what's right and what's wrong. But when you're going to say what's right and what's wrong, we've got to take the word of God, and that tells us. Today they seem to think that they can take what they want to and leave what they want to, and it doesn't seem to make any difference. But it does make a difference, and someday they're going to see that it's going to show up. And I was thinking, you know, in America where we live, we've been so blessed. The religious freedoms we have and the fellowship we have with other believing Christians and other congregations and here in our own congregation, and how we have it so good here in this land. But you know, not everybody has it that way. And I would think that someday, if our nation falls, some of the other nations are going to look at us and maybe, how shall I say, make fun or say they thought they were that good, but it didn't hold out. Now to go over here to verse 24 and 25 of the 29th chapter, and here it says, even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Now, we've never been in the land of Egypt, but we've been down in sin, and God has rescued us out of sin, and we live in a nation which has the name of being a Christian nation, but I believe rather than that growing stronger in the years and you and I have lived, it's really growing weaker. But for others to look at America, a Christian nation where we have all the freedoms that we have here, and then they can say, then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. And I said, Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and you and I, and telling what happened back here, that we might be aware and we might not follow in the same paths that they followed. You know, when I think of all the things that are going on in the world today and how we have it so good, and then people just don't seem to study the word, they don't seem to realize what the future holds, and they're more concerned about some of the things that God doesn't tell us right out than they are some of the things that he does. And I've often thought about the 29th verse here, the 29th chapter. Maybe you think of this still too, but it says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. That tells me that there's secret things that the Lord doesn't tell us everything exact, but the secret things belong to him. And, you know, I think sometimes that people are concerned about the things, more concerned about the things that we don't have spelled out in word everywhere than they are the things that we do have. Just for an example of a few of them, people wonder, how are we going to know each other in heaven? You know, that's a question we often hear asked. And some wonder if they're going to know each other in heaven. The answer that I would give to that is in 1 Corinthians 13, I believe toward the end of the chapter, it says, we shall know even as also now we are known. I believe that's telling me that we're going to have mind like Christ. We're going to know each other just as he knows us today. But, you know, some people still believe that there are going to be families in heaven such as we have it here today. The Bible doesn't say that. I know one sister that we visit with different times, and she talks about wanting to see her husband in heaven and how they're going to be together. And I told her time and again, you're not going to be his wife in heaven. And we're not. The Bible says that we're going to be one family, and we're going to know even as also now we are known. And I don't believe that there's going to be a family here in this corner, a family in that corner, but we're all going to be children of God. And we're going to know, we're going to have a mind like God's. We're going to know even as also now we are known. You know, the scripture bears us out in that fact. The woman who had seven husbands, they asked, who's going to be her husband in heaven? And he said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures. And we're not going to be that way there, but we don't need to be concerned about those things. We have enough here that the Bible tells us that we can be concerned about, that we don't need to be concerned about those things. Or, you know, people wonder, what was the thorn that was in Paul's flesh? Or just what was the forbidden fruit that Eve partook of in the garden and gave to Adam? I don't know. I myself don't know. I don't know if it was apple or wasn't, but I kind of doubt that. But anyhow, that doesn't matter. Those are things that, those are the secret things that the Lord belongs to him, and he doesn't reveal all of that to you and I. But we need to be concerned about the thing that he does reveal to us. Excuse me. In chapter 30 here of Deuteronomy, if you have your Bibles open there, Moses goes beyond into the future to prove that God is faithful in all that he promises. Tells of when God will gather from all nations those that are scattered. Chapter 30, verses 11 through 15. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, is it not hidden from thee, neither it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it down unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day, good and death and evil, life and good and death and evil. And those are the things that we need to be concerned about, how we live and how we proclaim the word to others in our daily life. We need to be concerned about those that do not study, those who do not know, and we need to try to help them wherever we can. He says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Moses was calling for revival among God's people and says in verse 19 that if the right choices are made, it will be perpetuated in generations to follow. In verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. That's the choice that we need to make today. Choose life that we and our offspring are going to live. In the 20th verse, he says, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now, as I said, he was using this as an illustration for us today. Going to chapter 31 here in Deuteronomy, going to read verses 1 through 6. And Moses went and spoke these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy those nations before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and Og during kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give thee up before your face, shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I commanded you. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is who doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And that's a message that we have today. The Lord is not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. We need to be strong. We need to take courage. We need not fear, but we need to go on. When I thought of this and thought of what I might say tonight, you know, I thought as they were heading for the promised land, we sing the song still, we're marching on to Zion, don't we? We've got something out ahead of us, and we're marching on to a better place too. And he told them to be strong and of good courage, and that's what we need to do. We need to be strong and be of good courage and not to fear those around us. Isn't that actually what revival is all about? When we have revival, reminding God's children of their duties toward God and their fellow man, reminding that God's word wasn't just spoken for the past or for the future, but for the present, and that there are blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. We have that through the scriptures. When people were following God, they were blessed, and whenever they turned away from God, there was penalty, and the same thing is today. If we follow the Lord, We need not be afraid of what's going to come. We don't need to fear. We need to just simply look up and keep pressing on. I want to go now back to the New Testament. I want to read from Romans, the 10th chapter. Reading from Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 5 through 13. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man who doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we speak, which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That corresponds with what we read back here, wasn't it, when he asked who's going to ascend into heaven to bring Christ down. And here he says the same thing in the New Testament. The right choices are to practice what the word teaches us, that our lives might show evidence of those things that we believe. And in chapter 19, verse 30, going back again, chapter 19 here. Maybe I mean 29 because it doesn't. that many there. Anyway, chapter 31, verse 9, Moses wrote the law and delivered it to the priests, verse 11 through 13. And looking at the land in which we live and our responsibility today, Moses wrote the law and delivered it to the priests. And we need to look at the law and we need to deliver it to those that are coming after us. You know, it must have grieved Moses to know that after all the concern and effort he had put forth to know that still they would rebel against him. Going back to chapter 31, reading verses 26 through 30, this is in Deuteronomy. Excuse me. Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. Here he's saying that he's going to call heaven and earth to record against them. Chapter 31, yes, I wanted to read on here to verse 30. For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the works of your hands. And Moses spoke in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. And the song would go on in verse or chapter 32. Not going to go into that right now. But in chapter 33, Moses is blessing the children. Chapter 33, if you're following after, Chapter 32, verse 29. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from thee. I will see what their end shall be. For they are very perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For as fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest Sheol, and shall consume the earth with her incense, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains, I will heap mischief upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. This is what he was saying, I believe, that was going to take place against the children there. And we need to know that someday God's vengeance is going to be meted out on this old world in which you and I live. Chapter 32 says, oh, that they were wise. I'm going to read verses 45 through 47 here of chapter 32. And Moses finished speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, and all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land in which ye go over the Jordan to possess. He's telling them that if they're going to live for the Lord, then they're going to prolong their days and the Lord is going to bless them. But if they don't, it's not going to be good with them. Chapter 33, verse 27. And this is encouraging. It would have been to them, and it's encouraging to you and I today. He says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. He's telling them here that he's going to, that the Lord is going to be their refuge. He's going to be their strength underneath of the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Chapter 33 over here in verse 27, as I said, he's blessing them. And now I'm going to read verses 45 through 47. Not in chapter 33, I'm not. I think I did read this. I'm going to read it here again. Chapter 33, 32, 45 through 47. And Moses finished speaking all these things to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the works which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land to which ye go over to possess, over the Jordan to possess it. Excuse me. I'm going to read in chapter 34 now, and this is, in chapter 34, the final chapter of Deuteronomy, we have the account of Moses being shown the promised land and the account of his death. Chapter 34, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over there. Why wasn't he going to go over there? Because when he was to speak to the rock, I believe, he smote the rock. And he, like I said before, God is no respecter of persons. And Moses didn't get to go over there. I'm going to read the rest of that chapter there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth-Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hand upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. and all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of the Lord of Israel. You know, when you read this and you think how here in the ninth verse, how Moses had laid his hands on Joshua and blessed him, even though Moses died right after this and never got into the promised land, yet there were those following Joshua who took up the work and led the children of Israel into the land. And again, it shows that God is no respect of persons. You know, there's much confusion in the world today in the religious realm, and no wonder people take man's word, especially if it corresponds with what they like to hear. You know, the Bible says there's many false teachers going out into the world today. And my advice to us is, don't take what man says unless it corresponds with the word of God, because the word of God is the final authority. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, coming from 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, the Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. John 5:39, Jesus says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Good advice. We're to search the Scriptures, know what they're saying. And it's so important that it's a matter of life and death. As I said a while ago, you know, we're marching on to Zion, that beautiful city of God. We have so much to look forward to, and our aim and our desire should be that others would come and go along with us. I believe the time is short. We need to be doing all that we can to help others to learn to know Christ as their Savior. Sometimes we might become discouraged, but we need not be discouraged. We need to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, and someday we're going to reap the reward. But as I say, study the Word of God. Rely on the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to take us through. We need to know what the Word says, and the thing that saddens me today is that even in our own fraternity, they're trying to decide what we need to do and what we don't need to do. Must we do this and must we do that? But you know, when the Bible says that we are to do this, and Christ gave us an example, there's no excuse for not doing it. We need to do what He tells us to do. I'm going to close with a little poem that says, a thing is right or a thing is wrong. There is no in between. Sometimes we wish that it wasn't so, but it's plain what both words mean. If it's not quite right, then it must be wrong. And if it isn't wrong, it's right. Although sometimes it's hard to choose when the difference seems so slight. No matter how old you live to be, no matter where you go, there are no half measures with right or wrong, and it always will be so. May the Lord bless you.